Good afternoon, everybody. This is Linda Carlson, and welcome to Wellness Watch. Today, I have a very special guest. It's a friend and a neighbor, and she's going to be sharing her story about diabetes. As you all may remember, people who have come back to listen to us once a month here at WGXC, we've been talking about type 2 diabetes and its relationship to weight, how diet or food can impact to type 2 diabetes. We've also admonished you to follow your provider or your doctor's plan of care for you, encourage you to exercise. We know that exercise plays a huge role in managing blood sugar. We also reminded you that your medications are extremely important. And let me again remind our listeners, we're only talking about type 2 diabetes. Type 1 is a little bit different. Type 1 diabetics really require insulin, and it's a different story for type 2. And so today, Jerry Blair, Jerry again, not only a friend and neighbor, but Jerry's a licensed practical nurse. And I've known Jerry now for how long?
8 years.
8 years, mm-hmm. Right. And actually, Jerry became an LPN during those last 8 years, so you have a great story. And Jerry now works as a head nurse in an urgent care center, mm-hmm. but she does have a story around type 2 diabetes.
I do.
And I did mention, mm-hmm. we were talking briefly before we got on the air here today, and you said something interesting about type 2 diabetes, about, oh, I asked you, are you a diabetic? Is it okay to share that you're a diabetic? Mm-hmm. And you said, oh yes.
Oh, yes, I am a diabetic.
Yeah. And what else did you tell me?
Well, first thing, let me say thank you for having me. Yeah. And it's really great to be able to share my story. I am a diabetic. I have been a diabetic for about 18 years now. I was first diagnosed in 1994, and my diabetes in the beginning was very out of control, and I started out by doing what my doctor told me to do and take the medication and, you know, try and exercise, try and watch what you eat, but there really wasn't a lot of information given to me at that time. So I really didn't take too much notice. I was like, okay, well, this is my lot in life, and I'm a diabetic, and I have to take these pills every day, and that's just what I'm stuck with.
I think it's interesting you said, you know, 1994, the information explosion. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot more, well, not only the information explosion, but the explosion around obesity in this country.
Right.
A lot more attention being paid to the consequences of obesity, diabetes being one of them.
Yes, it is.
And of course, we always tell our listeners that there are many websites that you can go to for information. Where did you finally get the information you needed
well,
to make a difference?
It really was a series of different people. I was working in a place where they had health educators, and one of them was a registered dietitian. And the greatest piece of advice that she gave me was to stick to the outside of the supermarket. The only thing you need, really, as a diabetic, are fresh vegetables, fresh fruits, you know, meat, poultry, a little bit of dairy, but to stick to the outside of the perimeter, really, of the supermarket, so you didn't get into the aisles where all the processed foods were, and all the hidden carbs were, and all the really bad things that diabetics really shouldn't be eating. So that was the beginning, and it was really like a light bulb clicked onto my head. I went, oh, that makes sense. You know, we're not supposed to be eating all those packaged foods with all of the additives and the carbs and the sugars and all of those things. That's what makes our blood sugars go out of control and really, really high.
Right, and particularly high fructose corn syrup.
Exactly.
It works differently in the body than just regular sugar, so
exactly.
There's a double whammy in those processed foods. Mm-hmm. So you got the information. There was a registered dietitian. She gave you information. She educated you, if
mm-hmm.
you will. Did you start right away shopping? Or...
No, I didn't. I'd spent many years taking my pills and having to take more pills because they weren't working, and then having to take more different pills on top of that to counteract the side effects from some of the medications I was taking. At one point, I think I was taking 8 different pills a day.
Wow, and that's really costly.
It is very costly. And it also, it just takes a tremendous toll on your body. You're putting all these chemicals in your body,
yeah,
and it wasn't helping. And the light bulb or the
motivator
for me at that time was my doctor finally saying to me, I don't know what else to do for you, Jerry. Mm-hmm. We might as well plan your funeral,
yeah,
because this is the path that you're headed on.
You know, I'm getting goosebumps when you said that we might as well plan your funeral. I don't think people can comprehend that's how serious this is.
Exactly.
That you lose, I read someplace, you lose something like 10 years off of your life.
You do.
You know, not controlled. Cardiac disease, if you have diabetes, uncontrolled diabetes, you will,
yeah,
have a cardiac event.
Exactly. And I think, you know, especially now in the customer service age of medicine, mm-hmm, doctors are afraid to say, you will develop this. You will develop. They say, well, you might develop it. And they don't put the levity behind those statements. If you are an uncontrolled type 2 diabetic, you will have heart disease in some,
yeah,
form or fashion.
Right.
You will develop vision problems, mm-hmm, in some form or fashion. It can be a death sentence unless you take control and you make the positive changes that you need to in your life.
I love what you said about you taking control.
Mm-hmm.
And making those positive changes. It's all about behavioral change.
Exactly.
I'm going to sort of fast forward in your story a little,
mm-hmm,
bit, because I know that you made those changes. And I will tell you, I do remember a day when we were outside of my house and you came out and you were just beaming because your A1C was 6.
That's right, it was 6 at that time. It is now 5.2.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You've got to be so proud of yourself.
I am.
So for our listeners, an A1C is a laboratory value. In fact, you know, I think that it's becoming maybe a standard screening, mm-hmm, lab value for people as well. But the A1C is an average of your blood sugar, your blood glucose. It's an average of 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives the provider a much better picture about your highs and lows. So the standard for a diabetic is under 7%.
That's
so
right.
5%, you're golden.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Some people say, well, you're cured, and you're really not. You,
mm-hmm,
still have the metabolic problems in your system, so you just have to be careful, and you have to make little changes. I mean, I think the perception is when you're diabetic, your whole life has to change.
Mm-hmm.
It does, but you don't have to make grandiose changes. You can make little changes, and they make grand changes in your lifestyle, in your life, and in your medication, and in your blood sugars. Just small changes.
And I like the framework that you put that into, because for a well coach will ask somebody, what is your vision for yourself? What's your grand vision?
Mm-hmm.
What would you want yourself to look like? What was your vision for yourself?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm almost 6 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, well, I don't think I'll ever be a model. But I, you know what? I like to wear a pair of shorts and not have to look at my legs and think, oh, my God, those are chicken wing legs. Those are chicken dumpling legs.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I just wanted to be, I love fashion and I love being out in the sun and I just wanted to be comfortable. I know I'm never going to be a supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big person.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to be comfortable and wear, you know, cute clothes. I didn't want to wear tents anymore.
Yeah.
So
that's a great vision.
Yeah.
Great
that
vision.
Was my vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're there. How are you feeling about that?
I'm almost there.
Oh,
there's
well.
A few more changes I'd like to make, but
okay.
Overall, I am very pleased with myself right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I went from being at my heaviest 397 pounds, and now I'm just a little over 200. And they were because I just made small changes,
mm-hmm,
and saw results, even the slightest bit of result. I saw little changes in my body, and that was enough of a motivator for me to make more changes. And then I saw more results.
Can you remember what some of those little changes were that got you started?
The first change that I made is I stopped eating fast food.
Excellent.
That's an easy thing to do. It's cheaper.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're not putting all of those processed foods in your body, and you feel better.
Yeah.
That was the first change that I made, and the second was walking. I walked 30 minutes every day, and now I'm up to walking an hour and a half every day because I love it, and I feel better.
Oh, I think you're motivating me. I've been, I have sort of lost my momentum around walking, although I have a good resistance plan in mm-hmm. place, but I think I'll get back to the walking. walking is very good. It's very good for depression. It's very good for managing blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And the recommendations, again, it's just 30 minutes, 5 days a week, and there you are at an hour and a half.
Right.
And I believe for weight loss, you do have to ramp it up
right.
to about 90 minutes.
Right. If you're the key, if your goal is to lose weight,
mm-hmm.
sweat. So walk faster, you know, do more resistance, more cardio, things like that. But as far as in terms of, you know, controlling your blood sugar,
mm-hmm.
30 minutes a day, a brisk walk, not a stroll.
Right.
You definitely need to walk because you need to be using those muscles.
Right.
And it does help. And it's a little lifestyle change that anybody can make.
So that was your first step, and you do remember that. Oh, I know what I wanted to add to the fast food. I just watched a program, a physician researcher, his name is Dr. Lustig. He's out of one of the universities in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and it was about the high fructose corn syrup
mm-hmm.
or the sugar in drinks and
mm-hmm.
how the size of drinks has changed since the early 60s and 70s.
They have. They're sometimes two and three times the amount.
Right, exactly. And people think that, wow, 99 cents and I'm getting this big drink. I think it's
right.
this American mentality that everything, I have to have more and more and more, and then it's worth something.
Right. In that big drink, you're also getting 2 cups of sugar.
2 cups of sugar.
I believe that's what I read.
Oh,
yeah. 2 cups of sugar in a big 64-ounce Coke or Pepsi.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not positive, but that's a lot of sugar. Just put it in a bowl in front of you and look at it.
And not only a lot of sugar, but it's a lot of poison in your body.
Right.
Because sugar is a poison.
Mm-hmm.
During this program, Dr. Lustig showed a graph, and it was a study done about the time when this country got on the low-fat kick,
mm-hmm.
high-carb. You know, it's the Mediterranean diet.
Right.
And the rate of heart disease was the highest in the UK and the US and low in Japan and the Mediterranean, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
He said what was missing, the variable that was missing, was that in those other countries, they ate fat, they ate meat. What was missing is they didn't eat sweets.
Right.
And in the U.S. and the U.K., there was a lot more sugar in the diet. So fat really, you know, wasn't the culprit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're making a decision about eating something, get rid of sugar first.
Right.
Sugar first, you know, fat, low saturated fat, lean meats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to be eating a lot of butter, but everything in moderation.
Everything in moderation.
Yeah.
And you know, as diabetics, sugar is really, you look at it as a poison, but it's the kind of sugar that you have to look at. You know, the Mediterranean diet, they eat fruit. There's sugar in fruit, but it's not processed fruit. And it's not an overabundance of it.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, a cupful of strawberries is plenty sweet enough. And you don't have to put sugar on it, but if you really, you know, if you really need that extra kick, try Splenda or try Stevia. One of the products that isn't a processed chemical, it's sugar, it's just, it has the bad complex or bad whatever molecule taken out of it.
Right.
And it's not as bad, but you really don't need it. Fruits are very sweet, and they're very satisfying.
I agree with you. In fact, today, I showed you my blueberries. I was my new self, and I did mention this in one of the programs. I watched a movie called Ingredients, mm-hmm. and it's about the local food movement. Features farmers in Portland, Oregon, but also the Hudson River Valley. Mm-hmm. And it got me very, very interested in what's here. I go out to Thompson Finch Farms for organic strawberries, blueberries, raspberries. But I also found Grieg Farms down in Dutchess County. Mm-hmm. And it's wonderful to look at the fruit and say, this is so satisfying. And mm-hmm. it's sweeter apples. Mm-hmm. So it's that replacement.
Right.
What would be some suggestions you would give people to try to start making some of these small changes?
Definitely stick to the perimeter of your supermarket. Okay. That's really all you need. You can go online to any number of food network websites and look for, you know, recipes for diabetics. Stay away from, like, processed foods like breads, rice, pasta. If you can eliminate those, or not necessarily eliminate it, because then you feel like you're being
deprived.
So, you know, in moderation, whole wheat pasta. Mm-hmm. But try just doing fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, fresh meats, instead of buying the packaged things. That's where I saw the biggest impact in my weight loss, in my blood sugars. My blood sugars are phenomenal now. I can't even, I'm just so pleased how they were. They used to be 300 and 400s all day long.
And you didn't feel good either, did you?
I didn't, no. I was, everybody who got a cold, I got a cold. I was horribly depressed. I was sick all the time. I felt bad. I felt like I couldn't get up out of bed every day. Now, I'm up early, I go for my walk, I just feel better, I have so much more energy. And I know that, you know, a lot of people hear this and they're like, yeah, right, yeah, sure, and everybody says the same thing. Honestly, I am living proof. I no longer have to take any medications for my diabetes at all. Mm-hmm. My sugars are totally under control. The only thing I take now are vitamins.
So the money you're saving on your medications, you can apply to all of those wonderful healthy foods.
That's right. My new shoe fetish.
And you're we didn't want our listeners to hear. But you know what? I think we do want them to know that, because that's a reward. Mm-hmm. When you're trying something new, what will I reward myself with instead of food?
Anything. Yeah. Books, movies, artwork for your walls, a new dress, yeah. new shoes, anything that makes you feel better. And whether you are a size 28 or a size 10 or a size 2, there is something out there that will make you feel like you're rewarding yourself. And it doesn't have to be the cookie or the brownie or anything like that. My other new thing is I buy flowers. I have so many potted plants around my house now, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But they're a beautiful thing that keeps giving, and I can I water it, I feed it, and it grows. And it's not that cookie that it's, you know, it's over in 2 seconds. Right. Now I have something that, you know, gives me pleasure a lot longer.
Yeah, that's great. And not only that, but those plants are putting back the oxygen into your environment.
Right.
And many of them, there are some of them that will take the toxins out of the air and process it for
right.
you.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Good choice. Wonderful. I was thinking also, let me see, you were, I know when we're talking about shopping the perimeter mm-hmm. and making choices, you save money on your medications that you can buy better food. Many people will challenge a coach or provider or anybody and say, I don't have the money to buy that kind of food.
I love this one.
So what's your
I've heard this. I've heard this many times.
So what do you say?
It's more expensive to buy fresh foods. It can be, mm-hmm. but if you add up all of the money that you are spending on your medications, all of the money that you're spending on fast food for you, your spouse, your kids, mm-hmm. all of the things, all of that processed food that you're buying, the snack food, the things to have in the house when, you know, when the kids get home from school, that adds up to a lot more money than it does if you buy fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, and have healthy snacks for kids, healthy snacks for yourself. You just have to sit down and crunch the numbers and look at it. It is less expensive to buy fresh and make it yourself than it is to go and buy fast food that somebody else makes that has a ton of fat, a ton of sugar, and a bunch of chemicals.
Chemicals, yes. You know, that's really important because the beef, the way it's processed and what they're eating. And today, the young women, young girls, 10, 11, 12 are bulking up and they're much more mature. Mm-hmm. And it's the hormones.
Exactly.
And the beef products and, mm-hmm. and many of the other products as well, or in milk.
Right.
So.
And it's in, you know, a lot of these chemicals that these processed foods have, the preservatives and things like that, we're just now seeing what effects those have on the body. And we've been eating those for 20 years.
Precisely.
And this is this is what we're seeing now.
Yeah. In fact, diabetics, uncontrolled diabetics, sugar sets up inflammation in the body, and inflammation is a precursor to heart disease and cancer.
That's right.
So diabetics do have a higher incidence of different types of cancers. There's not one in particular.
That's right.
So for me, I think that would be a huge motivator
mm-hmm.
to say, oh my goodness, if I'm doing cost benefit on this, I'm going to live longer, I'm going to be healthier, and I can spend that money on a nice retirement instead mm-hmm. of going for chemotherapy and surgery.
Right.
And in fact, coming back to the real world, real time now, if you are still a diabetic who's requiring medication and seeing a physician, if you're controlled, you don't have to go every 3 months. You can go twice a year.
That's right.
So you're going to save some money there as well. I know, you know, health insurance is a big debate in this country.
It is.
Right,
it absolutely
now.
Is. And diabetes is one of the leading cost
generators. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The other thing is you can only go twice a year, but you won't have to have as much blood work. You know, all of these doctor visits, office visits for lab work, mm-hmm. co-pays for your insurance, for your medications, that adds up too. And the less you have to go, the less you're going to have to pay out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would challenge, I think I might put out a challenge to our listeners
mm-hmm.
that when you're finished listening to us today, sit down and take a piece of paper and pencil. You don't need any sophisticated application.
That's
maybe
right.
There is one on your iPhone if you have an iPhone. But just, you know, add it up, fingers and toes. How much money am I spending on medication?
Mm-hmm.
What is my grocery bill? I mean, a bag of potato chips is $3.
Exactly.
I don't buy them, but when I was researching a little bit around changing up your pantry, in fact, we did that last month, I started looking at the cost of some of the junk food,
mm-hmm.
and it really is quite expensive. So if I have $3 for potato chips that are really bad for me,
mm-hmm.
that $3, I'm thinking, oh, bananas are what, 99 cents a pound?
That's right.
You could get three pounds of bananas.
And if you if it's something crunchy in a dip that you like, try sliced cucumber. They're $1. Or sugar snap peas. You can buy a big bag of sugar snap peas and you can dip those just like you can dip a potato chip and you still get the crunch, but it's healthier.
That's interesting. So for me, that's, well, I like the crunch. Aha, you have the argument. If you like the crunch, what
mm-hmm.
else could you do to get that crunch?
And if it's the saltiness that you like, try pistachios, try nuts. It's healthier. It's not a processed, preserved potato chip.
In fact, you know, now some people will say to us, well, nuts are high in calories, but I think I have also read that once you get those omegas in your body and that you get your metabolism normalized,
mm-hmm.
that, and I'm afraid to actually say this out loud, those calories don't count. It's like that Kathy cartoon. You know?
It's like our little magic wand. Yeah, just wave the magic wand. The calories
don't
count.
But the way they're metabolized is a bit different.
It is a bit different.
You're not going to get all of that terrible weight gain, you know, from them. Now,
and I'm certainly not advocating that somebody sit and eat an entire bag of pistachios. Like, we can sit and eat an entire bag of potato chips.
Yeah.
Pistachios are a little harder. You have to work to get those out. So, you know, you don't really want to eat a whole bag of them. But everything in moderation, that is the big key. And just to start, just to make one small change, and then you'll see a result, and then just keep making small changes. I am living proof that you do not have to be on your medications for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You can make that change and make your choice to make a healthier you.
So I have, and you know, as we begin to wrap up here, you made all those changes, you've had great outcomes, and there's a phase in stages of change called maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
We ask people, well, you know, what's your maintenance plan? But also, what would be your plan to keep you from relapsing?
I think just the things that I do now, I enjoy so much. Mm-hmm. That's enough for me not to relapse. I mean, I will admit, I am no angel. Mm-hmm. I cheat.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate is my nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
It always has been, and I think it always will be. But I treat myself, and I don't eat a bag of Hershey's Kisses. I'll have a couple.
Yeah.
Or a little square of dark chocolate. Or, you know, I'll have a cookie, or I'll have a cupcake if we have parties at the mm-hmm. office or whatever. But I understand that I can't eat 10 cupcakes, or I can't eat a whole giant Kit Kat bar, whatever. I understand that there are limitations. But you also want to reward yourself for making these small changes. And a little chocolate isn't going to hurt anybody.
You know, and I agree with you, and I'm right there with you, because I in the office, when I'm in the office, again, if there's a party and there's a cheesecake, and I see people taking big slices, I'm able to take a teaspoon,
right,
and I can cut one small piece off and savor it and say, and people look at me like I have 10 heads.
Me too.
You're doing what? I said, that's all I need.
Yeah, just a taste.
Just a taste.
And if you fall off the wagon and you eat a big piece, don't beat yourself up for it.
Correct.
It's not the end of the world.
Correct. Yeah.
Just keep, you know, just next time take a smaller piece, or, you know, reward yourself in another way. Food doesn't necessarily have to be a reward. Food is more of it's a way to sustain yourself, and it's a way to, you know,
Stay healthy. Food can keep you healthy.
Yep.
Or food can kill you.
That's right.
I mean, that's a pretty simple choice.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're coming up at the end here. I think this has been a wonderful conversation.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. And please have your friends listen to Wellness Watch. It's the first Monday of every month at 3:00 on WGXC 90.7.
I definitely will.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I just want to remind everybody, I think we've all noticed that it is summer. Over the weekend, we had those wonderful 90s. Talked to my sister in North Carolina. They were at 106, so I can't complain too very much. And I did get myself out to Greek Farm for some berry picking. Pick your own is just it's wonderful. Wonderful being in the bushes and in the sunshine. Don't forget your sunscreen. Not only Greek Farm, another favorite farm of mine is Thompson Finch. So blueberries are in. Greek had some raspberries. Our farmers markets, plenty of farmers markets available in the Hudson River Valley. Hudson has a very robust, quite a nice market. Red Hook has opened one. Rhinebeck on Sundays. Catskill has a small one. Farm stands, just driving down 9G, there's a little stand down there. Self-serve, be honest, pay for your vegetables. And one thing I'd like to point out, you know, not only are you helping yourself and your health by eating locally and eating fresh, uncontaminated foods, but you're helping the environment. There's the transportation cost. You're reducing that. You're helping the environment. So it's a win-win for everybody. It's a win for you. It's a win for your children. And it and it's a win for the world. So join us next month. Jerry's going to join us again, and we're going to be talking about how to decide when I should go to an emergency room, when I should go to an urgent care, or can I wait and call the doctor's office on Monday or that next morning if you feel that something's happening later at night. So tune in, and if you have any questions, please send them to info@wgxc.org. Talk to you next month. Bye.